produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Grace, peace, joy, faith, love, Dr. V.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Dr. V. You're tuned in to Love Your Making. Yes, it is Sage Conversations, Leader to Leader. And we have been teaching the last month about leaders and politics, right? We're going to continue. We're going to exhaust this subject until the Lord says something different. So I invite you to go quickly now, grab your Bibles. I'm going to be praying as you're grabbing your Bibles, and let's get into it. We only have a few precious minutes to really delve into this, and just want to let you know, as you're grabbing your Bibles, turn quickly to 1 Samuel, because guess what? We're going to be having a sage conversation in light of Judge Samuel today. Yes, I'm talking about Hannah's son that she had when she prayed and was barren, and Elkanah's son that he thought he'd never have, didn't care because he loved Hannah so much that he thought he was as good as 10 sons. But nevertheless, Samuel was prayed up, prayed in, God used him mightily, and we're going to talk about that after we pray, okay? Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you, we praise you, we glorify you, Father. We magnify your name this day. Father, we thank you for being so good to us. We thank you for being so merciful. We thank you for being that kind of God that has purpose for us. Just like you had purpose for Samuel, you allowed his mother to pray for him even before he was planted in her womb, oh God. And then his life as it rolls out was a life that you could use. And so we're excited about learning from him and having a sage conversation about him today. Father, anoint the ears of those who hear. Anoint the tongue of Dr. V, oh God, so that she can speak with clarity, Father God, about this subject. And you know you are the one to get the glory for all that we discover in your word today. Father, we thank you again for your love and your grace and your mercy In Jesus' name, we praise you and we pray. Amen. All right, listen up. You grab your Bibles, right? As you're looking at 1 Samuel, we're going to probably hang around the 8th chapter, but I'm just going to read a little bit about Samuel to you so you can kind of get to know him. I know a lot of you scholars probably already know this good stuff, but it's okay to have a review, right? Okay, so our review today of Samuel's life goes a little bit like this. Here we go. Samuel was a man chosen for God. From his miraculous birth until his death, he served in several important positions during his life, earning God's favor because he knew how to obey. Samuel's story in the Bible begins with a barren woman, Hannah, praying to God for a child. The Bible says that the Lord remembered her. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for remembering us. And she became pregnant. She named the baby Samuel, which means the Lord hears. Hallelujah. When the boy was weaned, Hannah presented him to God at Shiloh in the care of Eli, the high priest. Samuel grew in wisdom and became a prophet. Following a great Philistine victory over the Israelites, Samuel became judge and rallied the nation against the Philistines at Mizpah. He established his house at Ramah, riding a circuit to various cities where he settled the people's disputes. Uh-huh. Yeah, look at God. Unfortunately, Samuel's son, Joel and Abijah, who had been dedicated to follow him as judges, they were corrupt. So the people demanded, listen to this, the people demanded a king. Samuel listened to God. Hello? Let me say that again. Samuel listened to God and anointed the first king of Israel. This is where politics really got started, all right, biblically. A tall, handsome Benjamite named Saul, okay? There are a couple of things I want you to remember there. Samuel listened to God. In his farewell speech, the aged Samuel warned the people to give up idols and serve the true God. He told them if they and King Saul disobeyed, God would sweep them away. But Saul did disobey, offering a sacrifice himself instead of waiting for God's priest, Samuel, to do it. So here we have Samuel as a judge. We have him as a priest. But most of all, we have him as a man who heard and obeyed God with intent, intensity, and integrity. Yes, we have Samuel the judge leading and following the leadership of God, obeying God. Here he does. After the behest, after the begging of the people, he anoints a king that God had told him to anoint. So again, Saul disobeyed God in a battle with the Amalekites, sparing the enemy's king and the best of their livestock when Samuel, listen to this, had ordered Saul to destroy everything. God was so grieved that he rejected Saul and chose another king. Samuel went to Bethlehem and anointed the young shepherd David, right? Son of Jesse. That began a years-long ordeal as the jealous Saul chased David through the hills, trying to kill him. All right? Samuel made yet another appearance to Saul after Samuel had died. Okay. Yes. Huh? People do come back and talk to you after they die. I know it's not taught in mainstream, but here it is in the word, right? Saul visited a medium, the witch of Endor, ordering her to bring up the spirit of Samuel on the eve of a great battle. In 1 Samuel 28:16-19, that apparition told Saul he would lose the battle along with his life and the lives of his two sons. In all of the Old Testament, few people were as obedient to God as Samuel. He was an honored, uncompromising servant in the hall of faith, as listed in Hebrews 11. Some of Samuel's accomplishments in the Bible was he was honest and a fair judge, right? Dispensing God's law impartially. Again, a leader, a political leader, a spiritual leader, but he handled and dispensed God's law as a judge with impartiality. As a prophet, he exhorted Israel to turn from idolatry, good, and serve God alone. Despite his personal misgivings, he led Israel from the system of judges to his first monarchy. Okay? Some of Samuel's strengths were this. Samuel loved God and obeyed without question. His integrity prevented him from taking advantage of his authority. Let me repeat that. His integrity, look at that, prevented him from taking advantage of his authority. His first loyalty was to God, regardless of what the people or king thought of him. Okay? While Samuel was spotless in his own life, one of his weaknesses was he did not raise his sons to follow his example. They took bribes and were dishonest rulers. Okay? What are the life lessons we learned from Samuel's life? Obedience and respect are the best ways we can show God we love him. While the people of his time were destroyed by their own selfishness, Samuel stood out as a man of honor. Like Samuel, we can avoid the corruption of this world if we place God first in our life. I love this as Samuel being an example for us of godly leadership and also having the weight of handling political issues, because it shows us that you can be a man of God, you can obey God, and you can be an impactful leader, okay? Samuel, again, was instrumental in the establishment of Israel's monarchy. He was a contemporary of King Saul and King David. And in Hebrew, Samuel's name means name of God, all right? So let's look back at, I told you we were going to hang around chapter 8, and the reason why I want to do that is I want to, because here in America, we're getting ready in a few months to choose, hopefully, another leader. And we should be praying even now about who that leader is. And if that leader is a man after God's own heart. If that leader will obey God in his leadership. If that leader will walk in intent, the spirit of love, increase the intensity, the spirit of increase, not for him, just for himself, but for all the people, and integrity, the spirit of truth. Now, we talked about that in a previous broadcast, how godly leaders will have intent, intensity, and integrity. They'll have the spirit of love, they'll have the spirit of increase, and they'll have the spirit of truth with them. And so Samuel begins to warn the people as they begged for a king, like the Philistines had. They wanted, you know, you can get in trouble trying to want what your neighbors have or want what your enemy has, for sure. So he warns them six times how what they were asking for was not going to work out good for them down the road. Here's a commentary that says, his heart must have grieved him when he realized that Israel was going to settle for second best, a house built not on God's directive and well-planned will, but rather his permissive will. Such a building was sure to crumble. Samuel was about 60 at the time that he warned the people of Israel that if they appointed a king, the price of monarchy would, I have a difficult time pronouncing that word. You notice that, right? The price of monarchy would be constriction, taxation, and servitude. I'll repeat that. The price of monarchy would be constriction, taxation, and servitude. But they insisted, the Israelites, on having a king. Six times, in fact, in these verses, chapter 8, verse 11 through 18, he repeats, he will take, referring to what a king would do to them. But this earnest warning was upheeded. How many times as believers we know to do the right, but choose do the wrong? God is not a God of compromise. So let's look at, I want to point this out today if we get nothing else. Let's look at what a leader not after God's own heart will take from you. He will take six times. Here we go. Let's start at the 8th chapter, verse 11. I'll start at verse 10. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked him of a king. And he said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. First he will take. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen. And some shall run before his chariots. Verse 12, the second he will take. And he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest and to take and to make rather his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. Verse 13, and he will take your daughters. Actually, that's the second one. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers. Third one, verse 14, and he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and will give them to his servants. Fourth, he will take, verse 15, and he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give them to his officers and his servants. Fifth, he will take, verse 16, and he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. And the sixth one, verse 17, he will take the tenth of your sheep and ye shall be his servants. Wow. Six he will take. Isn't this pervasive? And verse 18 says, and ye shall, this is the result, ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen. And the Lord, guess what, will not hear you in that day. Now that verse 18 just makes you want to swallow twice, right? After Samuel warned them, really, you don't want a king. And then he told them six things that that king would take for them. And then the final blow, he says, and when you cry out in complaint, when you cry out under your suffering, and when you cry out and say, what have we gotten ourselves into? Why did we choose this man? Why? You're crying out who? To God again, whom you have dishonored by choosing someone that he didn't want you to choose. But he told his servant, go ahead and anoint him, Samuel, because that's what the people want. Let me show them what they get for when they ask for something that is not good for them. He said, I'm not going to hear their cry. I'm not going to heed their cry. My mama used to tell us all the time. I'm not going to tell you what my mama said because it is not presentable. But just to let you know, a hard head, all right? So when we think about this, you know, I'm thinking how about the very beginning of Samuel's life was a life he was literally conceived. See, because prayer went up, scripture says, and Hannah prayed. Hannah prayed when she was barren. She prayed for this son, and she dedicated this son back to God, and then God used this son for his glory. And he was a righteous judge. He was a obedient to God kind of leader, and he went around with impartiality judging the people. And then when the people began to cry out for a king, not necessarily a king that was after God's own heart, or later he showed himself to be, you know, once you can trust God for a minute, but then when you start getting full of yourself, as my mama say, you start getting full of yourself, then you start thinking that you can exalt yourself above the knowledge of God. And that's what Saul did. And that's what got him out of favor with God. And again, he was the chosen king of the people, and God was not pleased, but he let them have what they wanted. My takeaway today, as we look at what happened here, we'll get into David next time we're together, but let's look at Samuel as a prophet, as a seer, as a judge, as a son of God, as a man who walked in intent, intensity, and integrity, who had to lay hands on and anoint and watch the leadership of Saul turn from what could have been good,
God put an anointing on his life in the beginning. But when he started exalting his knowledge above the knowledge of God, then he went down. And the same Samuel had to come back and prophesy to him, it's not going to end so well for you. You're going to die, and even your sons. That's there. And so that, what do we want to look at here? When we pray for leadership, let's pray the will of God, the favor of God, the blessing of God. Let's pray God's will and not our will. Jesus taught that as well, that even in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, this cup, if this cup can pass, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. When God chose as a leader, he wants that leader to follow him all the way till the job is done. And he wants him to always prefer God's will over his will. So we want to pray then for a leader like Samuel was prayed for. When we get ready to go to the polls again to vote for a leader, we want to pray even now that this leader's heart be changed. The Bible says that Saul, later on when we read, I'm not going to go there, I don't have enough time today, but Saul was changed after he was anointed. And God changed him, but he changed him for his glory. But again, even when you're anointed, you can step off under that anointing by disobedience. And that anointing cloak will drop off of you like some clothes that are too big for you. And they'll never be able to fit again, because once you taste your own power, you get addicted to your own power. And it's hard for you to come back into the will and the way of God. Amen. It's hard for you to repent. It's hard for you to see your error of your ways. And so that when God stripped him of the anointing and Saul anointed David in his stead, what came out of that heart that was turned away from obeying God was filled with a heart of jealousy. And so he went on a whole year, as we were talking in the scripture, trying to kill that thing that had become exalted above him and now was getting ready to take his place. Amen. So we want to go to the polls before we even get there, praying that the heart of a leader might be changed and that they might fall upon the anointing and remain upon the anointing of God, which will first, the fruit of that anointing is that you would be obedient. Samuel was anointed to be a leader, from his mama's womb. Yes, Lord have mercy, he was. Amen. God opened up the womb of a barren woman by her prayers and anointed him when it was time, being even raised in the house of Eli, being raised in that house, seeing Eli's son do corruptly, he was still raised up with a heart to want to trust and obey God. And we see under his leadership, the Israelites fared well, fared better under Samuel's leadership as a judge than they did under Saul's leadership as a king. So pray. Do not expect that your prayers won't be effective, but they can be effective. But when you get to the polls to vote for a godly man or a godly woman in our case. But start praying right now that whoever is the next leader, wherever you are, whatever country you're in, whatever locality, state, national, international, whatever it is, that you're praying that this leader would have a heart after God, that they would walk in intent, the spirit of love, intensity, the spirit of increase, and not just for themselves, because we see over here in 1 Samuel 8, that's why I wanted to read that 11 through 17, it talked about the greed of King Saul, that he was going to do it. Samuel was prophesying that he was going to do it, and that's exactly what he did. And when you read on from the 9th, 10th, and 11th chapter of 1 Samuel, you will see that Saul took it. And Samuel, being a prophet, and when he was telling this, he said, he'll take your fields. He will take your men servant. He will take your women servant. He will take your cattle. He will take your asses. And he took it for himself. So his spirit of increase was for his greed and not for the welfare of the people. Amen? It just wasn't. So Samuel, okay, when Samuel was leading, Israel was doing well. Samuel prayed to God for the people, and God blessed them and delivered them. But then when they began to ask for what was not righteous or against God's will, perfect will, that's what they got. They got King Saul. All right? So listen, when we come back in another 2 weeks, we're going to talk about David's leadership, okay? And his political leadership. And in the meantime, you can just continue to read 1 and 2 Samuel and see how that thing played out and see the power, you know, behind being prayed up and being obedient. Amen. As leaders, we want to do God's way. We want God's perfect will, not our permissive will. Right, leaders? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We glorify you. We thank you for this lesson today. Let us as leaders have a heart like Samuel had. Oh, God, a heart of obedience. Oh, God. Let us be able, Lord God, to trust that your will be done. Oh God, let us look at the strengths of Samuel and desire those strengths as well. Father, let us look at the weakness of Samuel and say, I will try to the best of my ability to raise my sons and my daughters in your will and your way. I will do my very best to raise up godly children for your glory. Now, but continue to cause us to study and to know and to become better as leaders. This has been our Sage Conversation. You're making us, Father God, and you're making us by your love. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Hello, hello. This is Benita DeReese with Create Your Own You. As I always say, be who you are supposed to be and not what others want you to be. That, you know, that's just one of my things. A lot of us always get stuck on, you know, what other people are thinking about us and what we should do. I mean, I see it a lot on social media. I see it a lot just hearing it from friends and family. And, you know, it's just, you know, at some point you just have to step out on your own, step out on faith, and just be who you want to be and do what you want to do and create the person that you want to be in life and be the best you can be as possible. Well, today, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to talk about branding yourself, especially if you're in business. And this is another thing of creating yourself. You know, in business, we always get so confused. We get so mixed up with all these different distractions, looking at other people and looking at their success, and we're wondering why we can't get there, or we just keep procrastinating on what we should be doing. Instead, we just keep scrolling and scrolling and scrolling on social media, watching everyone else with their success, but we're still just, you know, we're just looking in the fishbowl. So I thought, you know, once you decide on what you want to do in life, and you want to go back into business, one of the things that you're going to have to do is brand yourself. Now, branding yourself is kind of like what makes you different from everybody else, even though you may be in the same field as others. But what makes you different? So maybe you're a financial advisor. Maybe you're an insurance agent. Maybe you're a travel agent. Maybe you are in a network marketing company. Maybe you are in healthcare, a doctor, a lawyer, any of those things. You know, you can brand yourself and become an identity that people will recognize. So when branding yourself, you really want to think about, you know, what exactly do you want to do? What exactly is going to be like your target market? What do you want to produce? What area that you want to go into when branding yourself? So say like if you want to brand in, let's say just insurance agents. There's so many insurance companies out here. You see them on TV. You know, have so many other independent agencies. What is it about your agency that's going to be different from all other agencies? Maybe once a year you put on a customer appreciation ball or something. Maybe once a year you, or on people's birthdays, you actually pick up the phone and call and wish them happy birthday. Or if you know if they had a wedding or an anniversary coming up, maybe you just do a personal card and send it to them, you know, wish them happy birthday or, you know, congratulations on their wedding or, you know, many more anniversaries. You have to find out what exactly is going to make you stand out from everybody else in your target market or your target area that you're trying to get into. One thing you do have to do is you need to determine your unique value proposition. And what that means is you need to figure out the identity. You know, what is the identity of your company? You know, what makes you unique? And hopefully, you know, with trying to figure that out, you know, you could brainstorm and go into different areas and say, what is my proposition? How do my peers look at me? What is my strength? What is my passion? What are my goals? You know, if you was to, let's say you wanted to leave your job in a couple months or you wanted to leave your job in a couple years, what would you need to do to leave your job? So you need to determine what the unique value proposition is. You know, other than that, you need to see how others see you as. You know, how do people trust you? Will people purchase things or purchase items or services from you? What are some areas that you're going to be like, okay, how can I push this product or how can I push this service, and how can I determine my target audience? Do I want to work with the millennials? Do I want to work with the baby boomers? Do I want to work with Generation X? You know, what area or target audience do you want to work with? Do you want to work with single moms? Do you want to work with single individuals? Do you want to work with couples? Do you want to work with people who lost a loved one? Do you want to work with, you know, do you want customers coming to you that, you know, that may be have depression, you know, and you have overcome your depression and how, you know, you possibly can help them do the same thing. So always see what area that you want to go into and your target market that you want to be of service to, because that's the thing. You want to give out great value in whatever area that you go into, and you want to be of service. You know, money comes into play, of course. You know, that's the ultimate end goal. But what's the service, you know, you're going to bring up? What's the service that you want to help people? You have to think about helping people in order to make money. So what you know, and like I said, always think of money last. Always think of how can you help first. What can I do to help this person in this situation? How can I create some type of business to help people who may have lost a sibling or someone who may have lost a child at an early age? What can I do to help those people and, you know, create a tribe around them? And, you know, that could be your own unique tribe. You know, definitely also, let's do step, I can make this step three, you know, identify your goals. You know, in 7 years, 10 years, where do you want to be at? What do you want to see? I would always say, You know, start with your first 6 months. Then after your first 6 months, make it like an 18-month commitment, because it really takes some time to build your business, and it's going to take probably a good 18 months to 2 years or so, maybe a little more, to actually get your customers that you are looking for, because, you know, it's going to take some time for you to do your research. And you may also want to take some classes to get more research and more value so you can train and teach others on the topic that you want to service people in. And we always make the mistake of, you know, like I was saying earlier, we're always looking at other people and saying, oh, I wish I can do that. Oh, I wish I should do that. Or, you know, you had the idea, like, you know, at first you wanted to be an insurance agent, and then you see somebody else over here, they're being a holistic coach, and then you say, oh, that sounds interesting. And then you look over, you know, somebody else's page, they're being a health coach, and all of these things now got you distracted from what your original goal was. So when you're branding yourself, you have to be really, really specific on what your target market is and what you are servicing that target market. And don't get distracted from that. I mean, I've done it several times. You know, my background is a travel agent, but I've also financial coaching. So, you know, travel agent and financial coaching, those are two things that I like, but people know me for being a travel agent. So, you know, when I mention financial stuff, people are like, huh, what? You know, what are you talking about? Or when did that start? But I've been actually doing financial coaching for some time now. But like I said, most people know me from being a travel agent because I've done that longer than I have done, the financial coaching piece of it. So also when you are promoting yourself, let's say that you are with like a company. Let's say like a network marketing company or an MLM company that's, you know, selling beauty products or something. You really want to brand yourself. You want to make sure that you're not really branding the company, because branding the company gets the company more attention. It doesn't get you more attention. So when you're branding yourself, say that company was to shut down for whatever reason, you still can start a whole new beauty line in your own in the company's name of your choice, or start another company with beauty products, with another network company with beauty products, and you'll be, you know, people won't even realize you transition companies because you're branding yourself as a beauty expert or a makeup artist or someone who loves to go shopping for clothes. You know, branding yourself around certain companies, people get caught up with just the company, making sure everybody know I'm with this company. Take a step back and brand you. What makes you different in that company? Because you're going to want more customers, and you're going to want, you know, a lot of times those particular companies, you recruit people. So you're going to want to know how to make yourself different from everybody that's in that particular company or everybody that's in a competing company. So try not to brand so much on the company, but make you the brand of that company. And when making yourself the brand of the company, you can pretty much do like a little business. You want to make sure that you have maybe certain colors for your brand. You know, you might want to do blue and orange or blue and yellow. But whatever your brand is and whatever the brand color you're going to use, make sure you are consistent using those colors, because your colors is blue and yellow and white. So whenever people see that background, blue, yellow, and white, they're going to automatically think, oh, that's Vanita DeRees. Oh, those are her colors. Let me see exactly what she got going on, or what items that she has selling, what makeup products she have that she have specials on. And they'll look at the makeup product more than they will look at the company, and they'll look at you more than they'll look at the company, because you're branding yourself with those, you know, different target markets with the colors. Also, create yourself a logo. You can create yourself a logo. Make sure that logo is still also the colors that you're going to brand yourself on any type of social media sites. With the social media sites, you want to, you know, I would say learn one at a time. So if you're big on Facebook, I would brand on Facebook first. You know, if you're big on Instagram, I would brand on Instagram. Wherever your main target audience is and what you are more comfortable with using, I would use that particular platform first so that people notice and realize who you are, especially if you're new. Because a lot of us are new getting into business, and we just don't know what we're doing, or we just don't have no idea what we're doing, I should say. And when that happens, you want to know, you want to just go splatter everything on every page. You want to go on YouTube. You want to go on Facebook. You want to go on Instagram. You want to do Twitter. It's this new thing that got out, what is it, TikTok or something like that, something new that came out recently that everybody is on and doing on that. So, you know, you get so overwhelmed, so confused how to work all these different sites if you're trying to do them all at one time. And then you're going to just, what's going to ultimately happen is you're going to just say, forget it. This is just too much. I want to just go back to work. Let me just do my 9-to-5, because you allowed yourself, one, to get distracted, and you allowed yourself to get overwhelmed. And when in business, you don't want to get too overwhelmed, because it is a distraction. Because in your mind, you're going to say, oh, I can't do this, or where can I go for help? Nobody's here to help me. You want to just make sure that you are staying the course. Write everything down that you want to accomplish. Write your goals down that you want to accomplish. And a goal needs to have a deadline. Make sure there is a deadline to that goal. Because if you just write it down, it probably won't happen. But if you put the deadline to it, so you want to create a blog, you know, by April 1st. Just put a, you know, blog April 1st. Write it in your calendar so it'll be done and you'll have it. And that's also, you know, another way of branding yourself is creating a blog if you're really good at writing, or if you want to hire a virtual assistant to do the blog for you. There's so many areas that people can help you with doing, you know, branding yourself. You can hire yourself a branding coach. Somebody can train and teach you how to brand yourself properly. You can hire yourself, you know, one marketing person who do marketing on social media, and they can just do all the marketing for you. And then that way you don't have to worry about all of that. It's being taken care of. And then you can focus on, you know, maybe creating a course for your brand, maybe doing speaking events for your brand, maybe going to conferences, you know, getting yourself out there so people know who you are and exactly what you do, what your services are, what you want people to follow you, and, you know, gain people trust. Because people don't buy from people they don't trust. They really don't. So if you just inbox somebody, say, hey, I just started this new company and I sell less skincare, and I'm doing a 50% discount. You know, people are going to look at you like, who is this person? I don't even know who she is or who he is, but they're asking me to buy something from them. So you want to make sure people trust you. You want to give out value. That's when people really start to trust you, you and your brand, is when you start to give out value. You know, do a free webinar. You know, go live on Facebook show several times a week. Give value around the topic that you want people to eventually purchase from you. You know, once you give out value and once people start seeing your face and noticing you and understanding exactly what you are creating for yourself and your family, or you may want to do something huge and create some huge company where you're going to have to hire employees. Sometimes that is the ultimate goal. You want to hire employees so that you have employees that work for you and helping you with your brand. So you can have a whole company that's, you know, you can have somebody in your company that do, like I said earlier, your branding for you, your social media for you, and you can just go and do exactly what you are geared to do, and that's probably motivational speaking. That's going to colleges, going to high schools, you know, just areas where you really want to be at. You don't want to be, you know, just feel like you're stuck and you don't know where to go for help, or you don't know what exactly to do. Also, I will also say that, you know, when branding yourself, you want to make sure that you pay attention to details, okay? Details, 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 you know, because a lot of times you're probably sending emails out. You're sending stuff on Facebook. Maybe you're sending a contract to a corporate company where you want to do like a corporate training. You want to make sure you're paying attention to details. So when I say that is paying attention to details, you want everything to kind of match. And as I mentioned earlier, the colors and your logo and things of that nature. So when you're sending stuff to corporate companies, maybe you want to teach the corporate company how to save more on your paycheck. You know, that can be the title of the proposition that you're sending, proposal, over to the company. And you want to, you know, if they might want to research you, they want to see if you have an Instagram, or they may want to see if you have a LinkedIn. They're going to research you, definitely. So you want to make sure everything looks the same. In addition to, you want to make sure your name is the same. So my name is Vanita DeReese. So on everything that I have, I will put Vanita DeReese. I will put that on my business cards. I will put that on my my email address. It would be on my social media accounts. It would be everywhere that someone probably want to search for me. It's going to say Vanita DeReese. And you don't want to go and then put Vanita DeReese / my last name is technically Ziegler. So, you know, I don't use my last name. So I wouldn't put my last name on maybe my website. So everything else will have Vanita DeReese, and then my website have Vanita Ziegler. See, those two don't work. People won't understand that it's the same person. So you want to make sure on everything that you use that you are using the exact same name. Now, it's different when you want to come up with a company, because you can say, let's say my company is Create Your Own You. So most people know Create Your Own You is, you know, that's my company. So when you associate Create Your Own You, you're going to associate Vanita DeReese. When you associate, let's say, it's a young lady that has her company is Show Your Success. Everybody know that's Taria Avant. You know, everybody knows she's a book writer. I mean, not a book writer. She helped people publish books. But everybody know Show Your Success is her company. I'm sorry, the owner is Taria Avant. So, you know, you think of things like that where make sure everything is associated with you. You know, even with Lisa Nicole. Yeah. She has, you know, a Millionaire Success Writing Club. Everybody know that's her thing that she do twice a year. So, you know, you want to make sure if you are doing a company or if you're doing a business, you know, make sure you get it out there that it's your name. So everybody was like, oh, that's who that is. You know, they're familiar with maybe you do help people publish books. And your company name is Royalty Free. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. Your name is, you know, your publishing company is called Royalty Free. But everybody know Royalty Free is probably, let's say, Jenny Jones' company. So, you know, they just know that is associated with her company. So you always want to just make sure everything looks the same. Everything looks identical. You know, you don't want to lose money or you don't want to lose out on a proposal or on a contract because a CEO looked and was like, nope, that looks a little fishy. We're not going to go with her. We're not going to go with him. Let's look for somebody that is more solid, somebody that has more training or more information, or, you know, their website look better or their social media page look better. And another thing while I'm talking about social media is on your social media page, you want to make sure, like I said, they will research you if you're trying to do big things with, you want to do things with corporates. They will look at your social media page. So make sure you're branding yourself on social media as an expert. So you don't want to have on your social media page, one, when they go look, and is your profile picture is a picture of a dog. They don't know who that is. Or the profile picture is a picture of a kid or a cartoon character. That's not being professional. You want a clean, clear picture of yourself for your profile picture. Now, your Facebook banner, you want to have something probably pertaining to your name or your company, something positive up there, because you don't want to have some cartoon Facebook banner up there, or you don't want to have a bunch of roses and flowers, no words or anything up there, because they're not going to understand that, you know, you're a professional. And the thing about it, you make everything look as professional as possible. Then look at your content on your social media page. You know, you want to make sure there's not a lot of negativity on your social media page. I would really, really stay away from politics, because that can become very, very messy. Very messy, and really, really quickly. So you don't want to probably do politics on your social media page. You want to talk about positive things. You want to probably put quotes out. You want to put out things that what people would attract you, would attract them to look at your page and possibly do business with you just by looking at your social media page. You don't want to have your family and friends posting baby pictures of you in the bathtub or things of that nature. You know, we all got those baby pictures that's, you know, hiding somewhere. You know, we got the bathtub baby pictures, you know. So you don't want pictures like that on your page. You know, you want as much positivity and business information on your page as possible. Now, don't spam your page and talk about business. You want to show some family events. You want to probably put a positive quote out there. You may want to put something as far as a free webinar. You know, you want to put maybe you got a book coming out, but don't spam it to where everybody's on your page and they looking like all she had to do was talk about her business. All he has is his business stuff. You want to make your page relatable to people. Okay, you want to make it relatable. You don't want to make it where it turns people off from your social media page or any social page that you're using. You do not want to turn people away. You want to attract them. So you want to make sure your page is as professional as possible, and you want to that's part of branding, is making sure your page is not, you know, having craziness all on it, a lot of distractions. Your page can be distracting if you allow it to be. Some people you may just say have to inbox them and say, hey, I had to delete that off of my page because I am a professional and I don't want people on my page looking at what you just posted on my page. So I just wanted to let you know, give you the courtesy on why I deleted that post off my page. You know, a lot of people will understand, like, okay, yeah, he or she is in business. They want their page to be as professional as possible. You also can put on, you know, go into your settings where people cannot even post on your page. So that way you have completely control of your branding of your page. I mean, complete control, because the only way people can post, if you allow, you know, if you say they can, and you have to approve it to be posted. But most people also do their business page. So you can set up two different pages. You have your personal page or your business page on any kind of social media account that you want to use. But that's, you know, I just definitely want to make sure that when you're, you know, people understand branding, you really want to figure out what makes you different from any other brand, especially if it's a brand of, you know, people out there that's doing it's a lot of coaches out there. So it's a huge arena. And if you want to be in a coaching space or you want to start creating courses, what is actually going to make you different? That's what you want to figure out when branding yourself. The other thing next, I'm just going to repeat what I said earlier. How are you going to promote yourself? What areas, what social media sites that you're going to promote yourself and what you're going to provide as a service? What will make you different? Now, branding yourself, you know, what will make you different? Making yourself different in the branding space is, you know, like I was saying earlier, probably calling people on their birthdays. You know, that's really good. Personal, a handwritten letter. People don't do handwritten letters no more. Handwritten note, you know, what's going to make you different? That's the thing about branding. And you want to make sure you are loyal and people are going to trust you. So you want to be loyal and you want people to trust you. And that's how people start to follow you, and that's how people start to recommend you, and that's how people will buy your product or services that you have. And like I said earlier before, people buy from people who they trust. And that's so big right there. They have to trust you in order to buy from you. So make sure you're not spamming people. I know you see a lot of it on social media. Kind of just stop and think about how you can attract people without spamming people to your page or spamming them in their messenger or anything like that. So I hope that helps this week in regards to branding yourself. I will be back in probably another week and a half or so with a new topic. And this is Venita DeReese with Create Your Own You. Always be the person you are supposed to be and not who someone wants you to be. Peace and blessings to everyone around the world. Have a good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're at.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the Internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.